Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Friday, everybody. Yeet, yeet. To a Friday. How about that?
Yeet, yeet.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I just was thinking to myself, I got to come down to Orange County, find me a park, get my cooler out, blanket, pillow, sit on the park. And, yeah, you know, you want a blanket and a pillow, you can sit down with your kids. You can throw the ball
a pillow.
I thought you were going to take a nap or something with a pillow.
No, but the grass, you want it to be, grass is soft. But the pillow, you know, you might want to just lay down.
Well, when you find your spot, call me. Maybe I'll come over. Maybe I'll bring something for us to enjoy.
Knowing y'all will turn on the water sprinklers down there. I'll get all wet.
That is a pretty good trick.
Screwed up everything with the beach.
That is a pretty good trick. Did you guys see where they turned on the Oculus at SoFi Stadium yesterday?
I did not see that.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't see it either.
It is so that, of course, is the double-sided scoreboard that they're going to have hanging over the middle of the stadium. So it's a giant ring of screen, and it's both on the inside of it and the outside of it. So no matter where you're sitting, you're going to have a perfect view of this thing. And then they lit it up for the first – it makes the thing in Jerry World looks like a little transistor radio. It's just insane.
What is Atlanta's? Is Atlanta's double-sided? Or is it just singular?
It's just singular. This is the only one that's lit up on. So think of it like a ring, right? So it's on the outside of the ring, and it's also on the inside of the ring.
No,
it's
the only one that does that. But I know Atlanta has that ring too, but I'm trying to think if theirs is on the inside, outside. But whatever, the Rams has got the best stadium going because it's the newest. And I'm sure the Raiders stadium, we haven't seen much of the interior of the Raiders stadium.
Stadium is unbelievably cool.
With the matte black?
Yeah.
Well, it fits the image of the Raiders and all of the darkness and Vegas and all that. It goes right into it. But the Rams stadium is going to be something. And actually, they're having scheduled a Kenny Chesney concert there at the end of August, beginning of September. I don't know how that's going to go. They haven't canceled it yet. They've canceled the other – who was supposed
Taylor
to
be? Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. They canceled those, but they didn't cancel the Kenny Chesney concert, LZ.
Because anybody trying to – listen, she got out of it quick, fast, in a hurry. But knowing Kenny, he's going to wait until, like, the guards come in and say, you can't go out and play. Like, he's allowed – he wants to do this show, trust. I think Taylor, because of where she's at in her career, she was indifferent to a lot of ways. But for Kenny, who loves playing in football stadiums specifically – he wants to do this. He wants to be the act that opens up this brand new stadium.
Right. I was just going to say, and to get to be first at a place like that, there's some juice that comes along with that.
Y'all can't absolutely wait for him to open that stadium up and place. I swear though, it still don't look like it's ready.
You know how you said over and over again how you're going to trust the doctors, right? I'm listening to the doctors. I'm listening to the engineers. If they say they can get it ready, I'll trust them because the eyeball test says, man, that looks like they got a way to go. But I don't know. Maybe they can just absolutely tear through the last couple of months and get it ready to go.
Well,
they're going to be good.
There's a lot of stuff off-site that they have to bring in, I'm sure, from warehouses that's already been assembled and things like that. But just like you said, from the eyeball, I'm like, man, ain't no way in the world. Because we already – okay, this is the 1st of May. We've already lost May, right? Let's just assume it's over. We're now in June. Then there's July that comes. So you're talking by the time you're supposed to kick this thing off the end of August and September, that's basically 3 months. The thing looks like all it is a piece of concrete with a shell over the top. They haven't even started putting in the seats yet. Yeah, they haven't started putting in the seats yet.
They say they're going to be ready to go, and the Oculus was amazing. Earlier today, we drafted junk foods, our favorite bad foods for us. The poll has been up for a while, Raj. Who's got the early lead?
Well, usually these things are pretty tight, Trav. But we've had a couple of runaways, and this time it's no different as LZ Granderson is running away with this thing.
And cut.
He's got you like that one. He's got 56% of the vote. You and Keyshawn that are about 20-something. But some of the comments are pretty funny. Like Jerome Burton is, hey, don't sleep on the burrito. They love that pick. That's right. Someone else.
But yeah, I don't see a burrito as junk food, but that's just me.
Well, it's not going to be in the health food section.
Well, see, I can make a burrito healthy, though.
More burritos.
Burrito can be healthy.
It can also be
terrible. Right.
Not from the car wash.
What are the numbers? What are the numbers?
So far, 56% for LZ, 24% for Keyshawn, and 20% for Travis. But don't worry, I think the burrito is going to make a surge.
Well, look, the burrito from the gas station or wherever y'all getting it from, it's cooked on top of stuff that was cooked on top of stuff that's cooked on top of stuff or cooked on top of stuff. That grease that's on that grill has been sitting there for weeks and months on times of Sundays.
That's where the good flavor comes from.
I was going to say, that's also what makes it taste great.
Yeah, that's what's going to make it taste good. But,
Yeah, I think you're undermined by the donuts, dog. I think the donuts thing undermined you, Key.
Well, donuts are unhealthy.
I understand
that's one of the most unhealthy.
It is.
It's fried sugar.
It is, but it's also something that you really need to go to a place to get specifically. Everything else, you can pretty much drop in almost any restaurant, any bar, anywhere, and be able to get to. The donuts, it just isn't as prevalent.
Man, you can get a donut from a gas station just like you can get a burrito.
Hey, look, I can't be the only one that's ever bought that little sleeve of Hostess donuts from the gas station.
Exactly. And in some cases, you can go to the Chinese food place and get fried chicken, Chinese food, and a donut. Am I lying, Jorge?
No, man, you're right on it.
Listen, after you get your car washed.
And then on top of that, after you get your car washed.
Well, the car,
I'm
the
just
car
giving it to you real.
Grand Central. You can get whatever you want. If you can get your taxes done at most car washes. whatever you need, they've got
it. I remember when I first walked into a Chinese food restaurant, and they was frying chicken and had donuts. I'm like, man, what is this? A value pack?
Shout out to you, Tommy.
All right. Jorge, let's get the Keys question to Lenny about Isaiah and whether or not he knew that he'd been left off the team. Let's start right there with that.
Out on the airwaves now, the big controversy is whether or not Isaiah Thomas was frozen out of the All-Star game, either Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, or a combination of both. Have you heard those rumors, and did that in fact happen at all when you were a part of the Dream Team?
I've heard the rumors, but I never heard, nothing was ever mentioned to me. And in the 92 team, I was assistant to Chuck Daly. But nothing was ever mentioned that they didn't want Isaiah Thomas. Now, certainly the rumor persists. And, the Olympic Committee was the one who selected the players.
Okay, so he's saying, look, the construction of the team was not up to me. I've heard the rumors, but I don't know anything about that. Then he went on to say we had really good players. There's only so many spots on the team. I think that there's a little bit of middle here. And what he's saying is, look, I was not consulted about leaving him off the team, but do I want him on the team? I don't know, man, because we had a pretty good team. It just seems that Isaiah's presence would have made it very, very difficult to have what we did have.
So to me, that says I didn't want him on the team.
Yes, I agree.
Well, there's this in the book.
And I really didn't care if he was on the team or not.
In the book, when the game was ours, Johnson is quoted as saying, quote, Isaiah killed his own chances when it comes to the Olympics. Nobody on that team wanted to play with him, end quote. So again, this is clearly was not a basketball decision. Remember, this team was announced in September of 1991. So in September 1991, MJ had just won his first championship, and Isaiah Thomas had just went to three straight finals right before him. So if you need any other rationale as to why this was not a basketball decision, that in and of itself is enough.
But why do you think it wasn't a basketball decision, LZ, if they say they didn't want to play with him? That sounds like a basketball decision to me. I don't want to play with him.
No, that sounds like a personal decision.
No, I don't want to play with LZ. It has nothing to do. It just, I don't want to play with him. No one said why. It's just, if someone says they don't want to play with you, someone says they don't want to play with you, that's a sports decision. That's not a personal decision.
It's a decision based upon you as a person. If someone were to tell you,
we play with people all the time that we don't like, man.
If someone were to tell you the best player on the team that had just went to three straight finals want to play on your team, you'll probably want to pick them up. And if, why?
Not if because I got John Stockton.
Man, stop. Now, the real question is, will someone in the next couple of episodes be quoted on camera talking specifically about this? Will someone on camera take ownership? Because even with Magic Johnson's quote saying,
Not a chance.
On that team wanted to play with him, it would be interesting to see if someone steps out and says, you know, I told them I didn't want him.
Not a chance. Everybody has not taken the opportunity to do that right now, that no one has done that in the last 30 years. It ain't happening on Sunday night.
I bet you this episode on Sunday is around the Dream Team. Somebody's going to say why they feel like he wasn't on the team. Somebody's going to say it because it's too, you know how it is when you get too many cooks in the kitchen, something's liable to burn. And that's exactly what you got with the Dream Team. You got too many ears and eyes. It's a team now. So there's somebody on this team that feels a certain way about why he was left off, and they're going to say. If they had a chance to interview pretty much everybody, somebody's going to say.
If someone says anything, I think it'll be Karl Malone. If Karl Malone is interviewed, I feel as if he would be the one person that would give zero you know what and would say something. One, because he's already retaliated against Isaiah Thomas right out the gate when he tried to knock Isaiah Thomas' head off after he torched John Stockton for 40-some points.
What if Scotty was the one that said?
But, guys, it depends on what they say. If they say, I think this is what happens, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But if they say, Michael told me that he said, if Isaiah's here, I'm not here, that's entirely different. They can offer their opinion of what happened, but I don't think anybody's coming out and saying, this is what happened because Mike told me so. Those are totally different.
I don't know, Trav, but it's break time.
Well, with that in mind, let's take a listen to Dave Joseph, who has Trav. We'll come back, too. We got a whole bunch of things to get to, including Alex Smith and the incredible story that he has. That's coming up. I'm really glad that Alex Smith is healthy and has his leg, but I'm very conflicted, guys, about going into the E60 story about him. I get really squeamish when it comes to things that are in the skin or on the skin, and that broken leg and that brace he has. I don't know if I can watch that. That's a lot, man. That looks awful.
I can't. I'm so tired of looking at it. I just
ooh.
And if I'm him, I ain't trying to play football no more, man. I'm good. I'm not trying to run around and play no damn football. I'm not gonna win here anyway. I'm out.
Listen, it's an incredible story. I'm interested because, to Key's point, you would think after that injury, you'd be like, I'm out. So I'm curious as to what's driving him. What is it about your career that you feel like there's still some unfinished business? You know, I think a lot of people feel as if eventually you earned being drafted as high as you was. Obviously, your career didn't turn out better than Aaron Rodgers, but in retrospect, you know, 2005 draft, you weren't a bum either. So,
no.
So your career was fine. You made several playoff appearances. You made money. Your name has been redeemed. So what exactly is driving you to come back?
Well, could it be this? Because like you said, LZ, he was the number one overall pick. And I think the totality of his career has been successful. That you don't look at it like, oh, he's not Ryan Leaf, okay? He's right. Been a starting quarterback in this league for a long time. But you could also make the case that he never really got the opportunity to be his best self, because San Francisco, when he first went there, were going through an offensive coordinator about every 5 minutes. that every time he turned around, he had a new offensive coordinator. And by the time they finally got rolling a little bit, that's when Colin Kaepernick showed up and took his job. And he had to go to Kansas City. And he started to play well at Kansas City. Then they draft Patrick Mahomes to take his place. And Patrick Mahomes becomes what looks like maybe a Hall of Fame caliber player. He goes to Washington to play for them, and he has a terrible, terrible, terrible injury. It's just there's all right when it feels like it might start to get going, something happens. And maybe he thinks that, you know what? I can play this position really well at a high level, and it's just never all come together for me. I want to give it one more shot.
No, and that's okay. Look, if I could still play football to this day and I didn't get bored with it, I probably would still play. It just I get it. I understand it. But when I've always been of belief, though, when you get injured and to the degree where it becomes life-threatening and things of that, it's like, you know what, man, never mind. I'm good. I've made it. I've beat the odds. I'm one of. I'm cool. I'm happy. Yeah, I may have not won a championship. Maybe I didn't make it to the Hall of Fame. Whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, if I'm walking around, I barely can walk, and I'm a rehab to get back to walking the way I normally would, but I'm not putting myself out there to risk something happen to me again. That's why I don't understand, like, a Brandon Cooks. I'm like, man, I can't. I'm not going out there to get another headache.
I'm baffled by it. You know, when you look at some of the other athletes, and the first person that comes to mind for me, and I know you guys can roll your eyes, but I don't really care. Serena Williams had a difficult pregnancy. She had a blood clot. Her life was at risk. She ended up coming back having to wear like a compression suit to make sure she wouldn't get another blood clot. And my question was, you're already considered the GOAT. Why are you risking anything to come back from pregnancy and giving birth to keep playing tennis? But there's something inside of her that was driving her that wanted to prove something, even though no one had any questions about her. And I feel the same way about Alex Smith. I just looked over the 2005 draft. And as far as I'm concerned, from him being drafted number one, all the way down to number 24, Aaron Rodgers. Between number one and 23, he's had the best career. What else do you want? What else do you want? What's driving you? You're not in a position to win a Super Bowl with Washington. Why are you coming back?
Because that's what they do. Just like Serena, you're the only one here that played at that level, but. That's what we do, man, and I'm not ready to walk away from it yet. I know that it might not make sense to the regular guy, but Serena wants to play tennis. Alex Smith wants to play football. I get it. I mean, I don't get it in the sense that I would make a different choice, but those people are different than regular people.
See, the Serena thing is different for me because Serena, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume that Serena didn't get blood clots from playing tennis opposed to – something else where Alex Smith broke his leg because of football. His leg was severed because of football. He almost had to have the thing amputated because of football. So it's like that's a little bit different than, playing tennis or getting a blood clot because I would assume that you don't have to play a sport to get a blood clot. So that's why I would think that the doctors would say, okay, you can do this, Serena, with no problem, where Alex Smith has to go through crazy rehab to get back on the field to strengthen the leg to be able to withstand another blow to it, let alone get into football shape. That's the only problem I got. I'm like, man. But, hey, man, kudos to him. He better than me.
Yeah. Did that stuff ever cross your mind that when you were going out there that was a possibility, that those sorts of injuries? Because, look, if you're a tennis player or a baseball player, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. But football, it's always kind of right there.
Well, I broke my ankle. My ankle was hanging, but it wasn't career-ending, threatening, life-threatening. It wasn't none of that. It was, oh, okay, we get a surgery, we'll be back in 6 weeks. That's what that was. But if it was something that they would have said, well – we had to fly somebody in here to save your ankle. You may never be able to walk again, but there's a possibility you can. And if you do, maybe you can resume playing football again. I'd be like, man, I'm out. You just get me to where I can walk and run and play.
No, I know you didn't have an injury like that, but an injury like that was always a possibility.
Always a possibility, but I didn't play scared. And so things like that never crossed my mind. When you start thinking about, I can get injured, I can get this or that, you might as well not even play.
I mean, when Joe Theismann had his terrible injury, he just basically said, I'm out.
I'm out.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm out. I'm deucing. I'm gone. That's what I said about Alex Smith. Man, I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. Why?
I don't know. And that's hopefully what we're going to find out from this, you know, from this E60 report. That's, I guess, tonight it comes out at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 our time. I mean, I'm completely fascinated. And as a storyteller, that's the thing that always drives me anyway. Not just the success.
Washington team?
Well, no, not just the success, but what? How did you get there? What drove you? I mean, that's what's about The Last Dance that's so compelling. It isn't simply about watching highlights. Anybody can go on Google and watch highlights. It's about listening to what made these men who they are. What's the story behind them? What was driving them?
What's the story behind me? You've been listening to me for 4 years.
You tell us.
You're just trying to play your mortgage in Calabasas.
You're so stupid.
So you keep fighting and fighting and fighting so you don't get or kicked out and get embarrassed.
Oh, stop.
Oh, man. I want to know what kind of pillow you're bringing to the park today. I'm very curious by the pillow. You're the only one I know that goes on a picnic and brings a pillow.
Man, it's comfortable. Put up a pole.
So do you sit on it or do you rest your head on it?
You can lean up against it with your elbow. You can lean up against it, prop it up and lean up against it.
Yeah, blanket in a pillow.
You don't bring blankets in it, so you ain't never – okay, I get it. Susan might be listening, so I get it.
No. Blankets make perfect sense. You don't want to sit on the grass. You want the sand or whatever.
Blanket and a pillow. So you ain't never in high school, you ain't never ventured out somewhere where you brought a blanket and a pillow?
Blanket, yeah.
And a pillow?
And a pillow.
And a pillow, right?
Thank you, LZ.
You don't want your – so I don't lay – when I lay down, I don't lay flat like that. I have to have my head propped up some. So when I'm not necessarily sitting down.
Are you going to sleep on the grass?
No, you might just lay there. You might just lay down.
I have been to 1,001 festivals. I have brought tarps and blankets and beach towels, listening to music for hours on end. And in my 40-plus years of doing this, I ain't never brought a pillow.
Okay, so let me ask you this, ashy knees. Let me ask you this.
Yes. And it's my ankles that's ashy, not my knees. My knees are fine.
Did you ever take a jacket or take something, another blanket or whatever, and roll it up and make it a pillow, a towel?
Yeah, that's what men do.
Okay, so I'm bringing a pillow because I don't want to do that.
No. See, you look soft. You look soft.
But guess what? I'll be soft.
It's the difference between biting your nails and going to get a manicure.
Soft and comfy.
All right. Chef Boyarkie, Junk Food Edition, coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Chef Boyarkie, yeah, we're going to chef it up, Travis and LZ. Chili cheese fries, man.
Yeah.
You know, you can do a lot of different things in terms of the fry preparation for yourself. You can get the Idaho potatoes if you feel like peeling them and making them fresh, or you could just get you some frozen fresh potatoes like I did. They were frozen, but there was no preservatives, no nothing. They just cut them and they freeze them, and you can buy them at like a Whole Foods or one of these specialty markets and drop them in popping hot grease, get them nice and crispy. The chili, you can get a chili from, depending on what you want to do. If you want to spend all day in the kitchen making the chili, or you want to purchase the chili from somewhere, depending on what you like in terms of chili. I had turkey chili that I brought from a healthy food store that I then put into a saucepan, cooked it up nice and easy. Once the fries was done, I took the chili, spread it over the top of the fries. Then I took some smoked cheddar cheese slices, laid them on top, put it into the microwave to melt the cheese for a minute, removed it, dropped chopped red onion, nice and minced fine, sprinkled them around it, dropped a little bit of sour cream on it, some cherry tomato sliced thin, laid them around it, dropped a little jalapenos on it. Not even a little. It was a lot for me.
Dropped a half a jar.
Dropped them jalapenos on it. Ridiculous. And then guess what I did?
What'd you do?
Got some Pepto-Bismol?
He's out.
He bought the pillow.
No, he's out. The problem, LZ, though, you're right about all that, the stomach and this. But if you get the right stuff, I ain't talking about no chili from the local hamburger stand. You got to get the right stuff. If you, the problem is there's no – if you look at the chili, you go back and you look at my picture, there's no grease. It was done. It's right.
Here's the problem for me, Key. There are certain foods that once I start eating, I'm not going to stop. And that's chili cheese fries is one of them.
Did you not see my plate when it was done?
What were you drinking with that?
I told you I went to sleep.
Because that feels like something you'd want to have a couple of beers with, and I know you're not a beer guy, Key. So what are you drinking with that?
I'm trying to think. What did I didn't drink. I just had water. I didn't drink anything. I had water.
Yeah, but it's the weekend. If I'm not going to drink water with my chili cheese fries.
You could drink some beer. You could drink some beer with it. Yeah, I would drink some beer with that.
Yeah.
Sit down, have a few Blue Moons. That's my go-to if I'm ever going to drink a beer. Maybe a Corona.
I want to know why you're trying to health up chili cheese fries with turkey chili. This is confusing to me. Like, if we're going to go have chili cheese fries, let's go big.
It's just – that is big, Travis. When I give it to you, you're going to be like, wow. You're going to be like, wow, this is good. It's one of those things where, again, it's the way that you prepare it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to eat the same type of chili I'm eating. You can go get the canned chili from the grocery store if that's what you choose to do.
No, I'm making my own.
So when you make it your own, you can throw, instead of throwing ground beef in it, instead of throwing turkey meat, throw ground beef. That's all. But the chili cheese fries with the smoked cheddar cheese, not that the cheese whiz and all that.
No, that's gross. No, that's gross.
I got the thin slice smoked cheddar.
Yes, LZ, it's still a thing. It still comes in the jar, and it's still a thing, and it's still exactly the rubbery, gelatinous mess that it's always been.
I didn't even know that, but they were still making that. That's incredible.
It's so good. And then I had I got a dessert for you with a skillet cookie, chocolate chip skillet cookie.
Ooh.
You take the small iron skillet, the smaller ones, and you get the cookie dough, whether you make it yourself or you buy it frozen. If you're buying it frozen, you need to let it thaw down so you can take it and form the skillet cookie inside the skillet. Drop it in that oven at about 400 degree temperature for about 25 to 30 minutes. Drop that vanilla ice cream on it and keep it moving. Just don't touch the skillet with your hands because it's going to burn.
That's keys. What Chef Boyarkey.
junk food of the day?
Sure. We usually call it Chef Boyarkey. You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, junk food of the day, Chef Boyarkey.
All right, I'm going to put you on the key. Give me another little drink recommendation here because you've offered some pretty good ones over the years or so. Give me something. It's about to be the weekend. Once I get to, 10:02, I might be in the mood for something. Give me a drink recommendation.
You trying to sleep or you trying to stay up?
Give me one of each.
Springtime. I'm gonna go light, so I'm probably gonna give myself a cucumber martini, because it's still kind of light and refreshing. Springtime or citrus martini,
like a lemon drop kind of deal.
Sort of, kind of like a lemon drop, but more citrusy. You might want to add some tangerine, orange, lime, lemon. Mix it together. Drop it into your vodka. With a little bit of a sugar rim. What else could I think? If you want to go to sleep, then I would. You got to go to that. If you want to go to sleep, you might want to drop a few Mai Tais in you. A few Mai Tais will put you down.
I'm not. You had me at cucumber martini because LZ. I know you're on the same page I am. When it comes to martinis, I'm a gin martini guy, and you get a little cucumber essence in there. Get out.
Well, they actually have some cucumber-infused vodkas, too. So normally I would be a gin guy, but with infused cucumber-infused vodkas, that gives you even more of that crisp cucumber flavor, and you can just utilize the actual cucumber slice as more garnish as opposed to hoping it supplies you with some flavor.
All right, so when we get here on Monday morning and we whoop whoop and we open the show, and we're going to obviously talk about The Last Dance right out of the gates because we're going to have two new fresh episodes that we just saw the night before starting at 6 o'clock on ESPN and the ESPN app. Your best guess of what we're talking about. Are we talking about Tony Kukoc? Are we talking about the Dream Team? What is the take? Because each weekend has had kind of a theme. The first weekend was Scotty. The second weekend was Isaiah. Dennis Rodman was a theme. What are we going to get this weekend?
I think you're going to get more of the conflict between the players and Jerry Krause because of the presence of Tony Kukoc.
I think you're going to get heavy Dream Team, what it was like to be around all those guys in one, you know, all that star power on one team, and at the same time, you're going to get a little bit of why Isaiah wasn't on the team and why Shaq wasn't on the team.
Like, Shaq almost makes sense to me in the sense of Christian Laettner arguably is the greatest college player from an accomplishment standpoint. You know, him, obviously Kareem. Yeah, accomplishments. Yeah. So, and remember Shaq, LSU team, while he was first team All-American, his teams always were disappointing in terms of getting bounced early, even though they were stacked. Now, you could say, you know, they weren't coached right. You could say some guys didn't show up, but they had a squad. But they kept getting bounced early, whereas Christian Laettner makes sense, you know, strictly from a basketball, he was an accomplished guy. So even though I personally thought Shaq should have been on the team, I can rationalize from a basketball perspective why they decided to go with Laettner, who at that point was also a much better skilled player than Shaq was.
But how could you, LZ, when it was heavily criticized all over the world that he was on the team and not Shaq? It was heavily criticized. It was even criticized by members of the Dream Team.
Well, I think because of what LZ has said before, look, this team wasn't going to lose any basketball games. They were going to go in there and they were going to do exactly what they ended up doing, and that's go ahead and beat everybody by 50 points. That's what was going to happen. So some other considerations were in place too. Like, if we're going to market this and we're going to market it to certain people, let's make sure that we have a little bit for everybody, and Christian Laettner might have checked that box more than Shaq at that point.
Get a little bit for everybody, huh, Trav?
Right?
Yeah, sprinkle some of that over here too, man. We don't want to go up in there with two. We need to get a couple more. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what we're talking about, right?
No, I get Christian. It's a business decision at the end of the day.
You know, and who knows? Maybe that helps Shaq. You know, maybe Shaq understanding that is the reason why Shaq became more of a personality. Because he, you know, from that snub, he realized that it's more than just about basketball in order to be a megastar in this league. It's about all the other things. Who knows? Who knows? But as
Christian
I said,
Laettner never turned into a megastar.
No, but no, in college, he was a megastar. In college, he probably was the biggest star when he played in college.
Oh, yeah, no. Christian Laettner had a far superior college basketball career than Shaquille O'Neal. Now, and that's where the wins for Laettner end, but that was a win for him. And coming out of that season, he wasn't as good of a player, but we all understood why it went the way that it did.
No, we totally did. It's a political game.
You know, we're going to get Kobe at some point, too. Kobe's going to pop up in some of these episodes, and that'll be great to get to see him as well. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come back. We're going to go Trost Talk. We're going to get George's thoughts on what Lenny Wilkins told us about an hour and a half ago. That's all coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, George, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was just Googling the story Key was telling me about during the break about an elderly woman getting struck in the head as some gentleman stole her pizza.
But before we see the pizza,
George, I'm reading it now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was in Tucson, though. That wasn't near me. That was in Tucson.
I was going to say it is Tucson. Well, it's like what, 45 minutes from you?
Yeah, yeah. It's still Arizona.
Yeah, it still counts. Still on your ticket, still, LZ.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it was at. The fact that it's ridiculous, that
it's crazy
that would even take place. It's like, come on, dude. Seriously.
But what kind of pizza was it?
It doesn't matter what damn pizza. Jesus. Boy, what's wrong with you?
I want George to listen to this because we've gone around and around. Earlier today, George, Lenny Wilkins came on with us. And yeah. I'm not even going to set it up because the question is in it. LZ asked the first question, and I want to get your thoughts on Lenny Wilkins' response on the other side. George, hit it.
Coach, we're going to cut right to the chase. Did Ron Harper go to you on that last shot in game five and ask to guard MJ?
I don't remember that. He may have. You know, Ron was a very good player, a very confident player, and I love coaching him. But we had a defensive scheme set up, you know, and I wanted Craig Elo, who had been playing very well for us, to stay up on him. And, you know, although Craig took a step the wrong way because he thought they were going to pass the ball into the low post, and that Michael got free. But Craig recovered and was right there, and Michael didn't make an easy shot. He made a tough shot.
All right, so hearing Lenny Wilkins answer that question, you think he just doesn't want to put Ron Harper on blast, or it never happened?
Oh, I think it's he didn't want to put him on blast because he didn't. He started saying I don't remember it that way, and then said, "But it could have happened," because he didn't want to embarrass
exactly.
him. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems like everyone on that team, other than Ron Harper, felt like it happened the way Lenny described it.
I don't remember that.
it's so crazy to me because it's like a discrepancy that can easily be supported or disputed. And when you have the leader of the team in Mark Price, the coach, and the guy who guarded Michael all saying, "We don't remember hearing you say that," it's going to be real hard for you to find somebody to co-sign because all the big people involved already did it.
Well, I think from a Ron Harper standpoint, from his side, he probably – or from Ron Harper's side, if let's assume that Ron kind of not necessarily fudged it, but – mistakenly thought that he may have told
you are relentless. I've never heard things. Somebody work so hard to cover a guy for telling something that never happened.
But we don't know that. It never happened.
Wait, hold on. Mark Price said it never happened. Craig Elo.
But
said
I can't listen.
Happened.
I can't listen.
Lenny,
to, I can't
Lenny
listen to Mark
Wilkins
Price
said it never
because
happened.
Because I don't know the relationship that Mark Price has with Harper. I don't know that relationship.
So all three of these guys got together and said,
"But
let's,
Coach
let's
Wilkins
say this.
Never said. Coach Wilkins did not say it never happened."
I don't remember that.
He said, "I don't remember."
He does sound a little dismissive of it initially.
No, that's just how he sounds.
No, that's the tone of the entire thing. Is come on, man, really? Of course, it never happened.
I mean, play it one more time, Jorge.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like.
No, you need to repeat that. That ain't nothing, but I don't remember that. Y'all, so he said, "I don't remember that, but it could have happened."
Keith, tell me, listen, did Ron like loan you some money when you were like, you know, you needed some cash real quick? Did he give you like a kidney or something? Like,
oh, yeah, at USC? No.
No, not at all.
The statute of limitations are over on that, Key. It's okay.
I just know that. That sometimes players, you know, Craig Elo may feel a certain way along with Mark Price about Harper, vice versa. So they may be, you know, they boys. He ain't really with them. He says something, so they attack him.
So where are Harper's boys? Where are Harper's guys saying? I heard it.
Yeah, where's Brad Daugherty?
Yeah.
But that's why, you know, Brad Daugherty probably in NASCAR somewhere.
He's getting ready for a race. That's true. They are going to race soon.
And you know what? Brad Daugherty really gets away with a lot. Because when I went back and looked at just, you know, the game by game, what happened in 88, you talk about somebody that didn't show up. God dog, he did not show up. Holy cow. I love the fact this is boiled down to Craig Elo and Ron Harper and who says, you know, what and who didn't do what. But Brad Daugherty really laid an egg in that
hey,
series.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
So Isaiah Thomas is changing his tune and his story again.
Oh, yeah?
About who the top players were that he played against. In 99, he said Jordan was the top guy. In 17, he said it was Kareem. Now, in 2000, he has Jordan number four and Kareem number one. So he's flip-flopping back and forward. We figure based on him being a little hurt about Jordan treating him a certain way that he decided to make Jordan the fourth guy on the list now.
Yeah, of course. He called him a bleep hole on national television, and he had no idea it was coming. So, and I've heard stories about Isaiah saying recently, because he's done everybody's show, and he's going out everywhere talking about this now, and he's talking about, we've been at dinners together, not alone, but with other people, and I had no idea that he would do this, you know, and talk about me that way. It's just, I was surprised that that would be the reaction. It's just strange. Like, the whole thing, we're just relitigating all of it.
Well,
it
then is, the rub of it, too, is that Isaiah is acting exactly like Michael accused him of acting in the documentary. Yeah. He looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, Isaiah just needs to stop. Like, just stop. Like, it's over. Like, who cares? Like,
he does. Listen, he definitely does need to stop. But it's not going to stop because the entire segment, I guess, is on the Dream Team.
Oh, that's coming soon, too. Yeah,
it's coming soon. So it's going to start all over again. But my question, George, is, do you believe that somebody is finally going to be on camera and says, yeah, I kept them off?
No.
Not a chance.
I just feel that's so weak.
I think somebody is going to say it, but they're not going to say they heard it from Jordan.
Nope. No one will be definitive. They'll talk about their feelings. Yeah. Not talking about what
they heard. I want somebody to own it. I want them to man up and just own the moment.
I don't remember that. He may have.
The Sinatra Show is coming up next. Episodes 4 and 5, or I should say 5 and 6, coming up Sunday at 6. Have a great show, George. We'll see you on
Have a great show, Georgie.
Thank you, guys.